This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 246. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
It's Crossover Mania with Buddy and Alec, Bruce and the Family, and Arthur versus the League. Plus, the JLA rides again, Voltum provides exposition, and the return of the lightning round. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for a Sunday, February 24th, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, and you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we're back from vacation, and you can read more about that on my blog. But meanwhile, we've got 3 weeks of comics to catch up on, so let's get started with big crossovers. First one is Swamp Thing number 17 and Animal Man number 17 by Snyder, Lemire, Bellinger, Pugh, and Green. So this is the conclusion to the Rot World crossover.
Which I have to say, I'm sort of glad they're wrapping up. I mean, yeah. It's been good, but... Yeah. It's been going on for a long time.
So Buddy and his team take on the Rot version of the Justice League while he takes on Rot Flash. And Alec and his team takes on Rot Superman, and there's heavy casualties on both sides. And the remaining forces of the Green ride in and the cavalry. Medphil, the GL plant being, is killed. Frankenstein ends up getting his ring.
That was pretty cute.
Buddy and Alec are ready to blow up the biobomb. Arcane arrives with Rot Maxine and Rot Abby. Buddy kills Rot Maxine because he's not his daughter anymore. Steel tries to fly the biobomb into the air, but he's killed. And so Alec ends up flying it up there, sets it off. The resulting rain kills the Rot. Arcane, of course, escapes. They meet the Parliament of Decay, who turns out they're not evil. They just don't want to restore the balance. And they want to do so by sending Alec and Buddy back in time. And they agree, and then we'll see what happens next.
So this is, of course, what we expected to happen, which is none of this matters.
Right.
It all gets reset. It's a good story, but it was all reset.
Oh, of course. Now, Lemire is moving on to Green Arrow, which we'll talk about that in a second. Justice League Dark that he's already doing. Constantine. And a one-shot called Time Warp, another anthology that Vertigo's doing. And then Snyder is moving on to Batman. We'll talk more about that in a second. This summer, he's going to be putting out a fifth Superman title called Man of Steel, Vertigo's The Wake. And then, of course, he has American Vampire, which is currently, quote, on hiatus. They keep saying it's going to come back, though. So overall, the Rot World thing, other than it went on too long?
Well, and I'm not even sure if it went on too long. Other than it went on too long in the face of the fact that we knew that it wasn't going to matter and what was going to happen at the end was everything was going to be reset.
Right.
But I liked it.
All right, the second big crossover completing with Batman number 17 by Snyder and Capullo, Death of the Family concluding in this issue. So Joker has the whole Bat family tied up and then he serves up the silver trays that we saw at the end of each previous issue of the Bat family titles. And the silver trays apparently have their faces on them. The idea being that he sliced off their faces just like his own face is sliced off and leaves them all to burn. But Bruce stops it, of course. And it turns out it wasn't their faces, although I have to assume it was somebody else's faces.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Or maybe he faked it up somehow.
Yeah. So Bruce goes after Joker. The Bat family, meanwhile, is getting gassed with the Joker venom, and then they start fighting each other. Bruce catches up with him, and he tells him that he knows who the Joker was before he was a Joker, which is, of course, something that has always been a little unclear in the continuity since the very beginning, who the Joker actually was.
But we don't know if Batman actually knows it or not.
Or is he just
bluffing? Trying to, yeah.
But Joker, of course, doesn't want to know because he has no idea himself. And so he jumps off a cliff because I bet he died, not. Oh, no, he jumped off a cliff. Oh. Alfred is saved, but now the family doesn't fully trust Bruce. So that's the death of the family. The idea being we thought they were all going to die, but it's the death of them being a family, which is really how it used to be when they were all kind of a little concerned about Bruce and his obsession. And now we're back to that concept. It was a satisfying crossover, but this went on also too long. Third big crossover ends in Justice League number 17 by Johns, Rice, and Pelletier. The Throne of Atlantis crossover concludes. The League is regrouping at the Watchtower, and Orm is about to destroy Boston with these huge bombs that are apparently going to create some sort of seismic event that will destroy Boston. But the jail reserves, including apparently Zatanna, who she wasn't in the previous issue, was she?
I don't know.
I don't think so. They keep him busy. And then the big guns return to the battle, and Orm and Arthur fight it out. Arthur tries to explain that Volko caused all this, that he was the one who bombed Atlantis. Orm doesn't believe him. The Atom, in what apparently is the first New 52 appearance of this character, disarms the first bomb. Now, I looked at the picture. It still looks like a woman.
Right. So, I thought so, too. I thought we'd seen her before, though.
We'd seen in a preview image, I believe, they showed Adam. I don't think they actually showed. We still don't know who that character is. So Clark and Diana tow the other bomb into space, so it blows up harmlessly. Orm calls the water in to destroy Boston anyway. Mira and Zatanna manage to stop it. Orm yields to Arthur, and we find out why Volko did what he did. It was all to force Arthur to go and retake the throne. Arthur uses the scepter that sends the trench monsters home, and then Arthur sends Orm to Belle Reve, and we know that won't end well. That's always a bad idea. Civilians are now afraid of the heroes and also the water.
Well, I think that they're mainly afraid of Aquaman now.
Right.
Aquaman before was sort of a figure of fun, but now they think of him more as a
danger.
Yes.
So it's officially time to increase the Justice League ranks, Batman decides, and to apparently form a new secret society. That's what we see in the last panel. And to also form Justice League of America number 1 by Johns and Finch. The Ohio variant cover is our album art. A mysterious guy is running from what almost appears to be the League. And then meanwhile, Amanda Waller calls in Steve Trevor. People are kind of scared of the Justice League. And so it's a great time to bring together a league for the United States. The idea being that they can defend themselves against maybe the League if they have to. He manages to get Trevor on board by showing him this picture of a smooching Clark and Diana. And so the new team, Hawkman, and he's joining in order to get diplomatic immunity with the Thanagarian concept as a cover story, which this is interesting because that's always been a problem with the Hawkman character, and his continuity is so convoluted because, well, is he an Earthling, or is he a reincarnated prince, or is he an alien? Well, now they're just going to say, oh, yeah, he's an alien, and he's here to help us.
So we're saying, though, that really he's not? And really he's just saying he is so that he can have sort of abilities to lethally kill people?
That's what it sounds like. Katana is joining in order to get revenge on whoever she wants to get revenge on with the assistance of Argus, this government organization going to help her. And, of course, Katana got her own title. And that's the first issue actually came out a week before Justice League number 1, but it really doesn't tie into Justice League number 1 at all. Vibe, in his first New 52 appearance, he's joining because basically he's a rookie and he just wants to be part of the Justice League.
And if anybody asked you to be part of the Justice League, you'd jump at the chance.
Apparently. He now has not only vibration abilities, which kind of made him a rather lame hero in the Justice League Detroit era of the 1980s. He now has the ability to detect incursions from other dimensions. he's actually not completely in our dimension. What they explain is that because of his proximity to the first attack of Darkseid through a boom tube in the original fight with Justice League 5 years ago,
right,
he was kind of a bystander at the time. He is now partially not in our universe, which is why you can't take clear pictures or video of him. He can then alert Argus of these dimensional incursions. Stargirl, in her first New 52 appearance, basically joins due to publicity, it seems like. And they also know who her real father is. Dun, dun, dun. Whoever that is. And Argus also wants control of her cosmic staff, who's apparent that they've already established as this incredibly powerful device.
But we haven't really gotten any backstory on her other than she's been basically operating as a superheroine in California somewhere.
That's about it. And then Martian Manhunter. Now, Trevor had worked with him before, although it didn't go well.
He seems to be a rather more cynical and meaner Martian Manhunter.
Right.
I will wipe your mind.
The new Green Lantern, Simon Baz, Green Arrow, and Catwoman. When they picked these characters, there was a big question of why these particular characters. It didn't necessarily make sense. Now it does, because Amanda Waller picked them because each matches an existing Justice League member in power or knowledge of that character, which means that they could theoretically take them out if necessary.
I still don't believe anybody could take out Superman and Wonder Woman. Well, sorry.
So then this mysterious guy from the beginning of the issue is brought in on a gurney, and it's Green Arrow. And he starts to tell Trevor about a secret society and then supposedly dies on the operating table.
But of course he doesn't die because he still has a comic book.
That's right. He just started a new arc. I don't think he's dead.
Exactly.
Green Lantern number 17 by Johns, Jurgens, Jimenez, and Monkey. So the Wrath of the First Lantern crossover begins, because you got to have a bunch of crossovers going on.
Didn't they just finish the whatever the other Green Lantern thing was?
They certainly did, and now it's on to another
bah
one.
Bah humbug. I'm going to jump in here and say I like this new Green Lantern, Simon Baz.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like the other part. I know you like Green Lantern. I just think it's just blah.
Well, we start with a prologue with the Krona at the beginning of the universe. And this is something, again, that goes back to earlier continuities. He's a guardian, proto-guardian of the universe before they were guardians and millions of years ago. And he's a scientist and he wants to see the dawn of time and he manages to see it. And we see the classic image of this hand reaching out through this cosmic array. But now the hand has a ring on it. And it's Voltoom who arrives. Now, Voltoom, I'm always impressed by how Jeff Johns can bring in maybe silly Silver Age references and bring them into a real continuity. Voltoom is this wizard on Earth 3 that gave Power Ring, the evil version of Green Lantern, his Power Ring. So that's the only reference to Voltoom prior to this. Meanwhile, in the current day, Simon is fighting Black Hand, and they're both trapped, as are the Guardians, by Voltoom.
Well, those are the Guardians that were guarding the first Guardian, not right. All the Guardians.
Right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Now, Voltoom's plan is revenge against the Guardians. He's going to use the emotions of current Green Lanterns to give him power to go back in time and fix things. This is also a great way to review historical events of the Lanterns and to complete Jeff Johns' run of 9 years. This is kind of like his big curtain call because he's leaving to work more with Justice League. And we'll talk more about this in a future issue because we got lots to talk about. Black Hand sends Simon apparently to his death where he meets Hal and Sinestro, who are also dead.
But of course, they're not really dead. Oh my gosh. I'm so exasperated.
Well, since we do have a lot to talk about, let's move on to the lightning round. Threshold number 2 by Giffen, Rainey, and Collins. So the Blue Beetle, Jaime, is now part of the Hunted, in that whole reality show. But who cares? Because we meet Captain Carrot.
Yes.
Captain Carrot and his amazing zoo crew. First appearance, New Teen Titans number 16, 1982. Created by Roy Thomas and Scott Shaw. It really the last gasp of funny animal comics at DC. Back in the day, if you weren't a comic book publisher, if you didn't have a wacky animal title. It's kind of a JLA parody on what they refer to as Earth-Sea. But of course now, Carrot is now K-Rot, and he's all extreme and gritty. Green Arrow number 17 by Lemire and Sorrentino. Jeff Lemire takes over the struggling title. I haven't even bought this since issue one until now. Kind of remaking the character as in the Silver Age, where he's a rich guy who swindled out of his fortune and now has to live on his wits. Even more difficult since this Ollie is far more dependent on tech than the earlier continuities, but now all that is gone. We'll see if and how this ties into the CW series, because you know how DC loves synergy.
Well, they've certainly made him start looking younger, but yeah. You know, that's just my opinion.
Star Trek Ongoing number 17 and 18 by IDW by Johnson and Balboni. IDW has finally resolved the conundrum of Star Trek licensees. How do you continue doing an ongoing comic book title right before a new movie is coming, which will invalidate what you're writing? Because, of course, Paramount never gives these people spoilers. So publishers in the past would basically just do a reset on the title with whatever happened in the movie once it was over. IDW is doing a series of one-shots within this ongoing series telling the Abrams version of each character's history, which allows them to continue doing the ongoing knowing that everything's going to change anyways. So in the first story, McCoy goes to Starfleet. He does that to forget this doomed marriage, while Uhura goes to honor a heroic relative.
I really, really, really like these two comics.
These were really well written. I really enjoyed them. Okay, before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
Okay.
Are you ready, Mark?
I am.
Okay. Go.
Oscars.
No.
No?
No.
I'm shocked. Okay.
You were prepared, and yet you weren't right.
Well, I just assumed it was Oscars. Okay. First, let's see. Is it TV related?
Yes.
Is it one show?
Yes.
Is it a show on one of the three major networks?
No.
Is it a show on basic cable?
Yes.
Is it a drama?
Sort of.
Is it genre related?
Not really.
Mm.
No. I would say no.
No.
Not what you would think of as a genre.
Okay. And it's a drama? And is there one person on the cover?
No.
Two?
No.
Three?
No.
Four?
Yes.
They're the cast of that show.
Yes.
And it's a drama on basic cable. Let's see. Is it historical?
No.
Okay. Let's see. Drama. Is it politically related?
No.
Hmm. Let's see. Boy. Okay, is it all men on the cover?
No.
Is it men and women?
No.
Is it all women?
Yes.
Is it girls?
Yes.
Ah, so it's Lena Dunham.
No, it's not girls. I mean, it's girls on the cover.
Oh.
But it's not the TV series Girls.
Wow.
It's on basic cable.
Basic cable.
Yes, basic cable. It's not on premium cable.
Oh, that's right. All girls on the cover.
But it's not Girls,
right.
The series. It's lowercase girls.
Shoot. I'm blanking. Are they under 20?
Yes.
They're under 20.
Or at least they play under 20.
Is it on, like, MTV? It's not like a reality show or something?
It's not a reality show. And it's not on MTV. And your time is up.
I don't know.
Ha, ha, ha.
I don't know.
I didn't think you'd get it.
No.
ABC Family... Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah.
All right. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my Star Trek DS9 reviews and my daily vacation diary from our recent trip. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-3219-SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.